She didn't end up going anymore because I have summer tires on, so I had to turn back, and it was pretty. It took us like two exits. It took me an hour to come back from home. It's not even like 5 kilometers away. So we just drove back, and I said to myself, to my Lily, I said, maybe we should cancel because it's scary. Biddy, cancel the service this morning. But then I said, no, we can't cancel the service. So we can't do that. You know, that's only in Montreal we cancel services, not here. You know, so, but, you know, I want to just say thank God, every one of you that's here this morning and to hear from the Word of God. And I want to go more profound than that. You know, at times we do go to work, and there's times, weekends we do work and so forth. And sometimes the weather can't stop us to go out. But it wasn't that bad as so far to come here this morning. And I want to share something with my heart. When I see people missing and constant missing week after week, it's not a problem of a weather, it's not a problem of work, it's a problem with the heart. It's a problem with the heart of the person. You know, if I was going to start telling you that Mike Tyson was here this morning, I guarantee you this church would have been filled. But there's something more behind it, that Christ, Jesus Christ is here. And that's the person we're going to speak about, is Jesus himself. So I don't want us to get discouraged when we don't see people around and sitting on a pew around us, because we see that there's less people in the church this morning. We just pray that God will soften the heart, because it will make a way. As Christ makes a way for us, we will make a way for him. We will go. We'll do our best as we can, as our ability to go and to seek the face of God together. Because when we miss out on the presence of God, we're missing out on the greatest things in life. We're missing out on the greatest joy and the peace. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to school every one of us here, because I'm preaching to the wrong crowd here. You know, we got to preach to the crowd that are not here this morning. But I'm just wanting to share with you this morning my heart, and just to say we continue seeking the face of God. This morning's message is about the inner and the outward healing. It's a miracle that I want to share with you this morning, and it's going to continue a series on the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at Acts chapter 3, and then later on after the testimony Sunday, we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, and then after Acts chapter 10, we're going to look at Acts chapter 20. I want to speak to you a little bit on Acts. And you know that 2 weeks ago we spoke about greater things. God would do great things in your heart. God would use you in a mighty way into this world, into the city, into the community, not performing better miracles than Jesus himself, but as you're laying your hands on people, people can be healed. As when you lay your hands on people, we can be saved by the power of God. But there was something that we had to do, you and I, is what? We had to focus on the fullness of Christ to fulfill what God has called us to do. See, Acts 2 wasn't just a day of, you know, a place to find methods. It was a place that they were focusing, 40 days, they were focusing on the fullness of God. They were focusing on the Holy Spirit, they were focusing on him. And so when you receive the focus on the Holy Spirit and focus on Christ, and when the power came down, now you can fulfill. And we used Acts chapter, you can see the healing aspect, and that's where we're going to be going to Acts chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 to 10. So do you ever notice how much money that advertising is spent? Advertising is spent so much, millions of dollars. Companies around the world spend millions of dollars for advertising. And every year when there's a basketball team, or basketball finals, we see that companies will spend lots of money for advertising a product on commercials, like for Nike or so forth. Nike, just for 30 seconds, millions of dollars just go out there just to advertise. And I remember one time Michael Jordan. You remember Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player itself, and his Nike, the name Nike was out there, and everybody wanted to be little Mike, Michael Jordan. We even act like Mike. We say we can be like Mike, but I'm a little bit shorter than Mike himself, you know? So there's thousands of dollars spending, and everybody wanted to buy this Nike shirt, Nike cap, and Nike shoes, and Nike socks, and Nike's, you know, and other stuff, and everything Nike. And we spend lots of money. So let me tell you something. What about this? My wife and I will go on vacation tomorrow morning. It's just a hypothetically here. Tomorrow morning we'll be going on vacation. I'm going to go to whatever, Dominican or Jamaica or something like that. And all of a sudden, I'm going to meet Mike. And I'm going to speak to Michael Jordan. I'm going to be right there. We're going to have a nice conversation. And I'm going to tell Michael Jordan, I'm going to invite you to come here next week. I guarantee you everybody the thrill, and we're being so excited, and everybody's going to be jumped for joy. The community will know. This place will be packed. This paper will be standing up here for just for Michael Jordan. Oh, I just pray that he's watching Michael Jordan. But you know something? It's not about Michael Jordan. It's about Jesus. And we have a hard time to know when Jesus is in the house, we're staying away from where Jesus is. We can go where man is, but we have a hard time to go where Jesus is. And I have a hard time to understand. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the excitement came in my heart. There was a joy in my life. And when I heard there was a prayer service, I was more at the prayer services than actually real service on a Sunday morning. Because I know when you spent time with the prayer, and I know time when you spend a lot time with God alone, great things happen. That's where God starts to speak to your heart, stirs your heart, and changes your heart. When your heart is being changed, and I've said this occasionally this past week, when you fill your heart with the love of God, when you spend time with the love of Jesus, when you spend time with Him, your heart is going to be filled with love. Not the words of critics that will come out, but love will come out of your heart because you're spending time with Jesus. You're spending time with Him alone, and He is love. So the more you and I spend with Him, the more our attitude should change, the more our life should change, the more everything of our life should change and become more like Him. And this is where I want to bring with Him, with every one of us here this morning. So I believe that New Hope people, New Hope Christian Assembly will be packed. This place will be packed if Michael Jordan will be here this morning. But we need to be a role model. We need to have the model, the opportunity to model Jesus Christ and give people eternal life. Try to give people the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. The same excitement you will invite Michael Jordan is to be the same excitement that you should go out and tell people that Jesus is in the house. Because Michael Jordan can just be there for a minute or two. But Jesus is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And have you ever noticed that our society throws away money? And if something is going wrong right away, we went and threw money at it. Our economy is not doing so well, and the government is throwing the money away. I have a hard time understanding. It's not going well, and just throwing money away and money away. And sometimes we see that within the believers itself. We see a spiritual problem and we throw money at it. It's not going to solve the problem. So we develop a philosophy and we just throw money away as we will get back to our routine again. Just throw money away. So I want to read together with you Acts chapter 3 verses 1 to 10. Is something that you and I know, a story that you know very well. May the Lord add another blessing to His word. As when we're going to read it this morning, I wanted just to speak to our hearts just some key things that I want to share with you this morning there. So let's look at verse 1. Now, Peter and John, I want you to focus on Peter and John for a moment there because it's going to bring one of my points today here. Now, Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from birth was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate and called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." That's another key word right there. And he said, so he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene. Get up and walk." You see, look, if you look at verse 6, but Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have." It's very important there. He had Jesus. "I might not have money, I might not have gold, but what I have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk." And then taking him right here, look at that trust and the faith. Then taking him by the right hand and raising him and trusting. And at once, his feet and ankles became strong. Look at this. So he jumped up. Look at this. So he jumped up. Look at the excitement when Jesus moves in. He gets up, stood up, started to walk, and he entered in the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. May the Lord add another blessing to the scripture this morning as we go into your word this morning, as we already prayed, oh God. But Father, prepare our hearts to receive from your word this morning. Peter and John were going to a place, a temple complex. As they were going to this complex, a place of prayer, they encountered this man, a crippled man who was born for birth. It was probably 40 years of birth. He was begging for money in years in front of this doors of the temple courts. And as you all know, Peter and John responded that, "I can't have any gold. I don't have any money to help your situation. But what I do have is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk." This was a little hope. It was little hope for this man. He was expecting probably money. For years he was staying at that gate, asking for money, begging for money. But circumstances, they didn't have any money to solve this man's problem. And here was the key that they have. They gave them what they had. I might not have money. You might not have any money. But you and I have something greater than money. Something greater than gold. We have Jesus. And this is where I want to bring with you today. You have Jesus in your life. You have Jesus in your heart. That Jesus has saved you. That Jesus that gave you life. That Jesus that gave you peace. That Jesus who supplies all your needs is the same Jesus who can do that for someone else out there in the street. Out there in the family. Out there, someone that you and I know. The same Jesus is in your heart. You can give it to someone else. And one thing that Peter had is the same thing that you and I have at New Hope Christian Assembly. And we spoke about that. And that is Jesus. So I might not have that, but what I do have is Jesus. And that's more better than that. So we notice this in the church. This is the church's first miracle, recorded miracle. After Acts 2, you see the first recorded miracle as a church. And we see God was willing to grasp the attention of the people, of these people. And God used Peter and John to heal this man. This was a man that everyone knew. And the miracle was more than a miracle. It was a sign itself. It was a sign that Jesus was alive indeed. It's exciting to hear the need, the miracle of Jesus. He is alive indeed. He's alive and well. And last week we celebrated that he is alive. And he's still alive today. He's not alive just for one day a year, but he's alive every single day of our lives. But I'm here this morning to tell you by the grace of God and to tell you that the same power in Acts 1:8 that they received as when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were waiting for something in the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, "I'll give you power. I'll give you power." Remember one thing. I'm not giving you power to control the pastor. I'm not giving you power to control the church. I'm not giving you power to control the community. I'm giving you power to be my witness for this dark world. That's the beauty of this power that he's given us. And we came to understand into our world that because we have this power, we have power to control people. That is wrong. That is wrong philosophy. God has given us this power because the scripture tells us what? To go out and preach my word. To go out and be my witness. That's what he's giving us the power to do so. And this is my heart this morning. God has given us that power within our lives, that Holy Spirit within our lives, to go out and do what you and I are called to do. The church will not grow if you and I sit and just warm up a pew. The church will only grow when you and I use the power of God and go out on the streets and preach the gospel of Christ. That's the only way that the church will grow, is when we are expecting that power of God to be used in the right way. Not power on people, but power to be my witness. I know I might be strong this morning, but hear my heart this morning. What else do we see here that Jesus is working through his followers? As believers, he wants us to save this dark world. And he wants to use every single one of you this morning. We are his instruments in Romans 6. We are his ambassadors. We are his messengers. We are his representatives. But what does that all mean for us as a church? What does that mean for you and I as a church this morning? What I see is that we need to be part of a mission of God, part of the mission as a church, part of the mission and ministry of the work of God. That's why you and I are here. It's not just for us to grow and grow It's to be part of a mission, what God has called us to do. Now, I remember years ago, and I know I've repeated myself this in a couple of times, but I was a director of a nonprofit organization in Montreal feeding the homeless for 450 families per week. That's a lot of people. Giving free breakfast, free lunch every single day, 5 days a week. Giving food banks, giving education, and so forth. But one day, I remember one day, there was this man at the street corner. And because we were doing this mission, this ministry that God has placed on our heart to do, I remember this man one day, he was at the corner, and I just went up to him. Remember, we can just show love, but we have to act on it too. So I went up to this person here, and this person says, he just came out, he was an ex-con, he just came out of prison for 25 years for killing a cop. He had no family, he had no friends, he had nobody. So I says, come, we have food for you. But remember, it's going to be useless if I just give him food but not give him the opportunity to respond to the gospel. So I let him inside this place, into this lighthouse of Montreal North. I read the scriptures 3 to 5 times a day with him, 3 to 5 times a week with him. He accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior after that, baptized in water, been in volunteer for over 3 years in the lighthouse of Montreal, in the lighthouse in that place, to do the work of God has called him to do. He thought life was ended. He wanted to just kill someone else to get back in prison. He had no idea how to live. 25 years you're incarcerated, man, it's not going to be easy to get out. It's not going to be easy to just be in society again and find a job like this. We're having a hard time to find a job. Imagine them. Imagine people who do pay some prices. So we just not... So and people around, every time we spoke around people around the community, they said, oh, we know you guys. Oh, we know you guys. Oh, yeah, that's the lighthouse. It's the ones that preach the gospel, the ones who give food aloud. We know you guys. Can I tell you something? People know who we are. They're watching. You can sit with someone and they're going to say, oh, you're the one who sings out loud on Sunday mornings. I was with the Joseph not too long ago giving out tracts, and that family said, oh, I love your music. They know who we are. They hear it from far away, from a distance. So people are watching, people are listening from far away. But we're going to be useless if we're just going to be here and sitting down and not doing what God has called us to do, the greater mission. To go out and do what we're called to do. I want to see a church who has love for God. And when that love for God grows, the church will grow. The church will grow. Very simple. The more you have love for God, the more it's going to grow. We have another place that we've worked in Montreal. It was called a Second Chance. Not Second Cup Coffee, but it was called Second Chance. And people were all over the community, entered into that place, received the free coffee, received free pizza, but never left that place. It's good. We're giving coffee. We're giving food. That's a good thing. It's a good start. But no one ever left that place without having the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, the personal Savior, or to be prayed for. That's what mission is all about. It's not just about food. It's about giving the opportunity to an individual to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Or you're sharing the gospel to that person. We can be in love with God, but the demonstration in loving God through you to individuals is extremely more important. I love God so much, but we just stop there, it doesn't work. If I love God so much, we got to demonstrate it and do the work of God. Remember, we can do greater things. Greater things. So we have to focus on the fullness of, we have to focus on what? The fullness of God to fulfill what God has called us to do. That's Acts. I want to look at Acts 2. We've seen that last week. And now, New Hope, if we don't or do not or don't go what we're or do what we're called to do, it's not going to be done. No one's going to do it. Even if I'm just using it as a simple illustration, is a piece of paper on the floor. If you're not going to pick it up, and that person's not going to, it's not going to be done. It has to be done. It's the same with the ministry aspect. You know, and I know, what we're called to do is to preach the gospel and to be the lighthouse of the community. We have to stop looking and examining what every move that someone does wrong. We're losing focus. We're losing focus, and we must remain focused in what you and I are called to do. To do a greater mission. To go out. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am here not because I want to look good. I'm here is because I want to preach the gospel. And I want to speak about Jesus wherever I go. I try to take an opportunity everywhere I go to share the love of Jesus to someone all the time. I might be rejected. You might be rejected. That's okay. Jesus was rejected before you and I was. But we learn just to give the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. It might be hard for the beginning to some of you that have never done it. But it doesn't have to go there and start yelling, ah, Jesus loves. No, there's ways how to do it. And we can look at the story today. Now, Peter and John were going to up together, verse 1, together at the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. That's verse 1. Peter and John made their way to the temple in the afternoon, the same way you and I made it to come here this morning. We're going to the house of prayer. You took the time, you said, let's get together, and we're going to the house of prayer. Peter and John were going to this place and to pray. They understood the importance of prayer. They took that 3 days a week, 3 times a day, they went there to pray and to seek the face of God, to be alone with God. They went for a prayer service. And the scripture says they encounter this gentleman. And now this gentleman was there for 40 years. People had carried him to this temple gate named Beautiful so that he would beg. And this man was lame since birth. And all he was doing and all he knew what to do is to ask for money and beg for money. And always looking for the hand out. And yet he notices Peter spoke a word of healing in the name of Jesus. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted to hear, come on, I need some money to survive another day. Remember, for years, that guy's head's down. He's not going to pay attention anymore. His head's down and his hand is sticking out. And all of a sudden, Peter and John went there and got the attention of this man. Because he said something extremely important. He says, look at us. He's acting. He's not just passing by and putting a coin inside there. He says, look at me. I don't have money. I don't have gold. But look at me for a moment. Before going there, there's something before that I want to share. I was getting excited. I was getting there. So after verse 7, it says that taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet, ankles became strong. And we see that the scripture, there were two healings that we hear. First, there was a physical healing. And then we go in verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. So there is a spiritual healing alongside with the physical healing. That the physical healing was first, but the spiritual healing is extremely important. You cannot just give food, but you also must give the spiritual thing to the people. Give the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. It's a message itself for you and I today. That once you give out food, give them the opportunity to try to accept Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. It's all about Him anyways. It's not about anything else. It's about Him Himself. So the first point this morning, I want to look at this is God is working to those who faithfully work in prayer, who are faithfully in prayer. That's point number one. You have it up there, sister? Point number one, God is working to those who faithfully are in prayer. Look at this now. Verse 1 is now, Peter and John were going up together into the temple complex at the hour of prayer 3 times in the afternoon. Peter and John continued their participation in the Jewish rituals and worship as early Christian church regularly attended, gathered together to go into the house of prayer to pray. According to the Jewish custom, Peter and John lived out in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, going out to the temple, both literally and spiritually. And not just in their sofa, but literally going, taking their step, going to the house of prayer. But look at this, that is extremely important. I'm jumping off my notes here. Peter and John. Look at Peter and look at John. Those are two different people itself. Do we know Peter? Who was Peter? A guy who always questioned. Hussein was Peter, but he's not here this morning. He denied Jesus 3 times, but completely different people than John. But Peter was always the one who always had an answer for someone. Do you know anybody like that in this church? I thought Hussein was Peter, but do we know someone that always has an answer for everything? And John was a dreamer. John was a thinker. John was different. He was the one that placed his ear to Jesus' side. Completely different people. Do we know anybody that way? We do. But look at the two different people, different opinions. They were together. But why? Because they experienced Acts 2. They experienced the power of God. They experienced they were together, one voice, one heart, one mind, one way, focusing on Christ. Hallelujah! It is exciting, and you can have different opinions. You can be raised different. You can act different, but I can tell you something. When you're under the power of the Holy Spirit, when you seek the power of the Holy Spirit, God will bring them together with one purpose to focus together. Isn't that amazing to know? And I know there's different opinions here. Oh, sister, you have different opinions and different mindset than me. And Audrey has, and Joseph, I don't know, he's a questioner. Got questions, and everybody here has something. Every one of us here are different. But the beauty of it is when you and I go into the upper room, God unites us together and God puts us together and our opinions are pushed aside and we're doing what God has called us to do, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul and Peter were going up to the together, and that's even with the heart, together in the house of prayer, because they understood priority is prayer. Without prayer, you and I cannot go far. You can't go far. And I want to do greater things, and I want my prayers, every one of us will do greater things. So prayer is the number one thing that you and I must do. Two different guys were brought together by one same goal, to do greater things. And to do greater things, you and I need to pray. So Acts 2 is where they met the Holy Spirit. It's where they spent time and encountered the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray three times a day. Priority wasn't prayer. Priority wasn't prayer. People are having a hard time with finances. People are having a hard time with their marriages. People are having a hard time with their children. People are having a hard time with the society, with coworkers. We're having a hard time with this. And the only thing that will help us to go overcome those things is prayer. And we have a hard time to unite ourselves in prayer. If you want something, you got to go for it. You got to go for it. And I know I'm going to go for the one who's going to answer my prayer. And we won't stop until something happens. They understood together to go to one place is prayer. And as a church, we need to spend together in prayer. George Barner did a survey and asked the question to 614 pastors. I'm talking about pastors, not even pastors, including myself. 614 pastors, what are the top three priorities going to the new year? That's the question he had asked. The first one was discipline, a disciple, and spiritual development. Then the other one said evangelism and outreach, and the other one said preaching. Those were their priorities of their new year. Prayer was ranked 3% out of 614 pastors. That's a problem itself. You know why? Because we're so wrapped around with time and appointments over appointments over appointments over appointments over appointments over appointments, we forget to spend time in prayer. Going over and over and over, dealing and crushing fires here, we don't spend time in prayer. Because if we, together, will focus on the right thing and less on this, there'll be less fires. And we can say, I blame the pastors too, they don't spend time in prayer. But I have to blame even the congregation members. It can't just be my fault. It goes both ways, no? We need to work together. 3% is very low. So our prayer is, together as a family, even myself, I don't want to be in 3%. I want to be, my priority is to have a church of praise alongside with me, together. Prayer, the importance of prayer. So we see here even prayer was ranked 3%. And we look at Colossians 1:9, it says, Paul is speaking here, and he says, I'm not ceasing to pray for you, but being filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom. That's a wonderful prayer. Be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom. That's a prayer you should pray for me. Be filled. Be filled with the knowledge of God. Be filled with the wisdom of God. Be filled. Pastor, we want to pray for you for that. We want you to be filled with the knowledge of God. And I want you, to you, the church members, to be filled with the knowledge of God. Be filled with the power of God, with the wisdom of God. That should be our prayer among each other. And Paul understood that if he wanted to hear the heart of God, he knew that he needed to spend time with God. If you want to hear the heart of God, you need to spend time with God. In Ephesians 1:7 tells us, I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Then in Philippians 1, it says, praying for discernment. Pray, God, give me discernment. God, give discernment to our community. God, give discernment to our church members. The reason why Peter and John were able to be used by God, because prayer was their priority. The only reason you God's going to be using you into a higher level, into greater things, is when you make prayer your priority of your life. Don't look at other people and say, oh, God is using that person. No, God can use you the same if you make priority prayer of your life. The same thing. And I noticed that we rush things. We rush to pray. We just go fast. Even at the table, we end up praying fast. Or we're praying for ministry, it's fast because we run to ministry. But we're really losing out the real focus. It's not you running the ministry, it's Jesus himself who's running the ministry. And we must ask him to help us run that ministry. We need to spend time in prayer. We do things on the fly. Oh, by the way, I pray for ministry, and you run. No, take the time, relax, pray, and ask God to speak to our hearts. Ask God. Take the time necessary. Make prayer a priority of your life. Second point is God works in those whose eyes are focused on the need. See, you find this, you ever find this is a rule, okay? Those who complain about the way the ball bounces are usually the ones who drop it. You get that? I'm going to repeat it again. It's an illustration that I was trying to find an illustration on, you know, of a book that I have, sermon illustration. You will find this as a rule. Those who complain about the way the ball bounces are usually the ones who will drop it. You get that? Forget about my notes. If you complain, you will lose out what is the true focus, what God is calling you to do. It's as simple as that. If you're going to complain on this, but you really lost out what God has called you to do, because you're always focusing on the complaining. We have to stop the complaining and focus what God has called us to do. It's that simple as that. And we are humans, including myself, at times we complain too much. And I say that with a forgiving spirit, Lord, forgive me. But at times we complain for nothing. And then we end up complaining and complaining and really losing out what God has called us to do in this world. Because we're focusing on our own needs instead of the needs of others. God works in those whose eyes are focused on the need. Watch this. Acts 3:4. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently. Here's the key. 3:4, intently. He looked at him intently and said, look at us. For years, this man sat begging for money, who was never able to walk. So he needed to rely on men to bring them there to the beautiful gate, to this temple gate, every single day of his life. Have you ever been sick, so sick, a cold or something, that you had to rely on someone? You know, I had a cold this past week. You know, it's not big. For men, it's big. For men, a cold is like the end of the world. So I'm relying on my wife to massage my back. I'm relying on my wife to make me a chicken soup. It didn't happen, but whatever. But I'm relying. I'm relying on someone to take care of me. This man is relying on his men to carry him to the gate, to the temple. Every day for 40 years, he's relying to these men to bring him right there because he had to beg for money. He had to rely on someone else every day. Until two guys, Peter and John, gazed their eyes upon him. So they stopped and then told the man, "Look at us." He was surprised. He was not expecting, though many people walked by him, hundreds of people walked by him for years. But this time he says, "Look at us." Peter is demonstrating something to us, not to walk by of someone who's been rejected for years. Not someone who is dying inside. But he's telling us and he's teaching us here to tell people, "Look at me. I have something greater for you. And that is Jesus." If you have never stopped and Peter said, "Look at us," it would have been another ordinary day. Someone would have walked by and just gave him whatever it is, a fruit or a coin or whatever it is for that day. Peter and John stopped because they knew the importance of what we're called to do is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but what I do have is Jesus. But he says, "Look at me. Look at me for a second. It's so exciting because I'm going to get there now." Something extremely important there that's so nice to us to understand. And let's be honest here, for how many times this happened to us? You have seen someone in the streets begging and we turned away. We have seen someone in the church that you don't want to look at and you just walk, but you don't want to see the person. You put them aside because whatever it happened, but you don't want to take the time to talk to that person. Is it only me that happened this? It happened to every one of us here this morning. I can guarantee you this, that you've walked and you saw someone outside or you saw someone in church, and someone from church, and you've seen him at a mall and you saw him before. "No, I don't want to stop." And you walk by. Huh? Am I the only one? Every one of us says that. Every single one of us had put someone aside for a moment. But Peter and John said, "No, I can't walk by again and make this guy pass without even accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior." So we felt that way. And at times, you can feel that way. You're there and you're waiting for that person to come and say hi to you. And you see that person's head just turn. And they just take off. And then you go home and say, "I'm surprised my home. Maybe they didn't see me. Oh, maybe they did. Oh, that person is bad. Did he come and say bye? Did he come and say hi to me?" But that person felt the same way. For 40 years there, he had his head down. He wasn't expecting. The only thing he was expecting is another day that someone's going to walk by, maybe criticize him, laugh at him. Meanwhile, he's dying inside. Maybe mock him. Maybe say, "Get up and go to work," or whatever. "Get a wheelchair and just take off." Maybe, you know, all the words that must come out of that person's mouth. So his head was just focused down, and he's dying spiritually. We have people in New Hope Christian Assemblies, their heads are down, and they're dying spiritually. And we need to raise up our heads and draw them and check where they are and say, "Look, let's pray. Look, let's help each other." Now, love is one thing, but we must act on it. Okay? We must act on what God has called us to do. Peter looked at the man and he couldn't look away. Yes, he could have walked off and said, "Listen, I'm going to the house of prayer. I have no time for you." But if you would come up to me one Sunday morning and say, "Pastor, I am not coming to church this morning because someone called me and they, whatever, I don't want to go dramatic, but they wanted to take their own life, I can't come to church," I'm going to say, go right ahead. Go right ahead, because we're called to do that too. We're called to preach. We're called to go and share the love of Christ to someone. It doesn't matter if you missed that Sunday. It doesn't bother me at all. It happened to me many times in the other churches. I didn't show up. It's okay. But I was doing, not sleeping, but I was doing what God has called me to do, and to preach the gospel to that individual. So he didn't look away, and he's got the attention of this man. Hundreds walked away, but not Peter. He stayed there. And point number three is this. So what was point number one? Is God is working through those who are faithful in prayer. Number two is God works in those whose eyes are focused on the need. And number three is God wants to work with the ones who want to reach out those in need. Just seeing the need and hearing the people is not enough. We got to be willing to meet the needs of the people. And what good is it if you have someone, someone's heart knows that you know someone who is in need, and you know that they need Christ, and you know that they need help. Yes, you have the compassion for them, or even you're concerned about them, but what good is that if you just know and hear but don't act on it? We need to meet those needs, and if we don't give them a chance to respond to God, what good is it? That's why you and I are here, to allow someone to give an opportunity to respond to the gospel. So Peter, he acted on it. And two things that I think it was relevant for you and I. Peter knew that God cared for him. And you and I know that God cares for every single one of us. It doesn't matter what nationality, rich or poor, what country you come from, wherever, how you've been raised, he cares for every single one of us. So you just understand that for that person who's sitting alone in that church setting or outside, God cares. And he also knew that John and himself was God's representative. You are God's workers. You are God's representative. I know that God cares for that person, and now we are God's representative to do what God has called us to do. Peter knew and John knew. That's why he stopped. That's why they stopped. They knew that they were there not for the fun of it, because God has called them to do greater things. So the exciting about this is the same thing for you and I. The man never thought that he would stop, but Peter and John said in verse 4, he says, "Look at us." The man never thought that he would get up that day, and never alone that he would walk even that day. He never was going to think and imagine in his life that that day was going to be his day. The excitement of a day for himself. There are people dying every single day without Christ, and we need to remind ourselves God loves them and cares for them. Even though you have a hard time, but God loves them and cares for them. And he wants them to have the life of Christ in their hearts, because he is alive today. It's a new day when someone meets Jesus. Why? Because he cares for them. It's a new day. How exciting is it when you and I have seen a son or a daughter or an uncle or a dad or an aunt or a sibling or a friend that accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior? Isn't there excitement in your heart? Isn't there joy because someone received the life of Jesus in their hearts? Isn't that amazing? I get excited when someone accepts Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Because you will see the results of the people here. You will see the results of this man. So he turned in verse 5. He says, so he turned to them expecting to do something, to get something from them. But Peter said in verse 6, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have is the name of Jesus Christ. And I get up and walk. It's not found in silver or gold. It's found in Jesus. This man was looking at Peter and John with the eye of the world, the way you and I live today. He needed money, that everyday things. And you and I, we need those everyday things. You want the money, and you and I think that the money is going to help us to get closer to God. But reality is, the money, if the love of money is the root of evil, it's going to draw us away from God, not closer to God. Nothing wrong about money, but it's the love of money. So he was looking at the eye view, the world's eye view. I need money. That's what I want. He had never expected what Peter and John would say. He never expected that. This man needed to be changed physically, but also inwardly. But also inward, a spiritual healing inside them must be done. What good is if we help someone from the outward, but not give the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? What good that would be for you and I. And in verse 7 it says, then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet, ankles became strong. Taking by the right hand means that's faith. Raising him up, that was trust. And his feet, his ankles became strong. That's the power of God working in the life of that person. But he had to have the faith, he had to have the trust, and he had to depend on the power of God. You and I must have that faith and that trust and depend on the power of God to do the work of God. That's what you're called to do. That's what you and I are called to do. And I'm excited. And I don't care if you can fall asleep this morning or not with me. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm going to preach the gospel like if there's 5,000 people here. I don't care, because I know the power of God is active today. And is alive. In my heart, as every one of us are passionate. Not just to feed ourselves and our souls. But to do what you and I are called to do. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as Peter and John. Get up, he says, and walk. Get up and walk. And then look at everything change in this man's life. The inward and the outward changed out what everyone wanted him to know that. Because in verse 9 and 10 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe, astonished of what had happened to him. The working is always amazed at the evidence of the new life in Christ. Look, all the people recognized it. And you were filled with awe. They were filled with astonished. When God, mighty hand of God moves in someone's life, you will be astonished. You say, wow. And that's what just happened that day there. New birth took place. A new path took place in his life. And they started to praise God with excitement. Now, this is going to be the first and last time I'll say it here. In New Hope Christian Assembly, from now on, when we see someone who have accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, every single one of us must get up and start shouting and praising God. Because you know what happens? The seed has entered into our heart, the seed is there, it's growing, but the enemy will come and try to rip away the seed. And we're going to shut that enemy with praising God and say, wow. And we just praise God and say, another soul has entered into the kingdom of God. And we shut down the enemy. But if we just shut ourselves and say, oh, another one was saved today, praise the Lord. What's the excitement? There's no excitement? I don't remember when I got saved, there was a party after that. There was a party at home. There were over 70 people at my house. My mother invited almost half of the church. Not half of the church, it was a big church. But 70 people came there, and we just started to eat and celebrate, because new birth has entered in someone's life. There's an excitement in the heart. There's a joy inside that life of that person when has accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. So this is the first and last time when someone accepts Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, there must be excitement. Now that seed will be there and be stay there and be planted there until it grows into be mature Christian. We take it so lightly. No. There's excitement. There was an excitement in the life. There was an excitement in the people praising, and excitement because a new person has accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. New God, new, give new life to this person. He healed them physically, but he also healed them spiritually. And that's the key. So what good is it for you and I will give food or help out the community, but not give an opportunity to respond to the gospel? It's better not to do it at all. Don't waste your resources. Don't waste your money. The purposes of it that you want to do for the community, there must be an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that. As we do the barbecue here at times, we put tracks. What is that for? To have someone have an opportunity to read the scriptures or to look at the track. We continue doing that. I'm not bashing you or anything. We continue doing that. We continue to do more. I'm trying to bring a point here. When we're doing something, let's always give the opportunity for that person to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning, You know, some of us might say, Pastor, I always want to give an opportunity for salvation. You can be here for 10 years or 15 years. And I remember one time my wife told me this, and I told her, I used to preach, when every time I used to finish the service, I wanted to do the salvation appeal for the ones who don't know Christ and so forth. And I told my wife, I'm going to stop doing that because I'm preaching to the same people every week. And my wife says, no, never stop, because you never know. You think that somebody might not have Jesus in their heart. Because some people might come for routine, or because it just happens that every week they go to church, or because it's accustomed to do so. My wife says, always give the opportunity. And I will always, since she said that, I will always give the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I don't care if you're here for 1 week or 2 weeks or 10 years or 15 or 25 years. Always give that opportunity. And I know God has ordained you to be here, even though there's missing a lot, but God ordained all of us to be here. He planned this exactly the way it is, exactly the same people, exactly where you're seated, exactly where you're at, exactly if you're falling asleep or not. He knew what you're doing. He knows exactly, because he planned it, he ordained it this day for you and I to be here. He's a God in control, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Amen? So he ordained this. So sometimes we have a hard time understanding that. Yeah, but someone invited me, or someone, that's a routine that I'm coming here. It doesn't matter, but God ordained it. God ordained it, because he has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. And the reason why you and I are created is to have an unending relationship with him. And not just for the fun of it, just to walk with him, but to have this relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus Christ. He wants us to have this relationship. And the question is, do you really have a relationship with Christ? Do you have this relationship with Christ? Have you ever really received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, I encourage you to do so. Take the step and say, Jesus, if you're really true what the bald preacher is saying, I want to accept you as a personal Savior. Work in my life. You know, I was talking to a couple this past week, and he says, Pastor, how did it happen that you came to the altar 24 years ago, and someone who had drug addiction and someone who was in street gang and organized crime, how all of a sudden, how did God change your life completely the next moment? Some people, but the thing is, when I walked down, my heart was really saying, it was a wholehearted. So God, if you're really there, and if you're really there the way people are saying, the way the scriptures are saying, now walk in my life and really work in my life, I want you to give me a sign, and I want you to save my life completely. And the moment I opened my mouth, I froze. And the Holy Spirit just came in my life, and I was numb. I didn't even know how to say it. I didn't even know how to speak. I didn't even know what to say. I was shaking. It was the first time I had. Sometimes I look at people and go, oh, there's something wrong with that person there. But the people were looking at me that time, because God was working in my life. But the moment I just finished, I just turned, and I went, hey, everybody's different. What's happening here? Everybody's love. Like, it's kind. I came inside that place trying to rip off someone's wallet, because that's how I came there. I was a thief. I was a bad person. But I left that place a completely different person. So this couple tells me, how does that happen for you but not for me? God is not a God who plays, and he knows your heart. So if you would come, and really, the power of God is just going to transform your life right on that spot, in that moment. And you're going to leave that place. He didn't say, that person, that crippled man, did not say 3 weeks later he jumped for joy. It was at that moment, because he experienced the power of God in his life. He experienced that transformation, and the excitement was there right at that moment there. Something has touched him, and that was Jesus, and became a brand new person. So if you have not received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I encourage you to do so this morning. Second application before we close this morning, as our brother will come just play the piano for a moment, and then we're going to pray and conclude. Some of you here are in the same position as this man, not begging for money, but might be down, might feel alone, might be rejected for a day or 2 days or a month, 3 months, maybe years. You had your head down, and you're down like that person, and you're having a hard time to get up. Simple is all what you have to do this morning. is a God who loves you. It's a God who cares for you. He says, stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. So I want to do something different this morning before we go. If God has placed someone on your heart right now in this congregation here, I'm telling you, God has ordained this. I didn't plan this. I'm not even doing this just for the fun of it. No, God ordained. If someone, God has placed someone in your heart this morning in this place here, I encourage you to get up from your pew and go right beside that person and pray for that person right now. And ask God to work together. Is there anybody here that God has placed in your heart to pray for someone? Whoever that may be, there's someone that God has placed in your heart. It can't be that God just did it for the fun of it. That means God only spoke to a few. No. God doesn't work that way. I know that God speaks to the heart of people. And I know there's more than that. God has placed someone in your heart, and you must go over to that person right now and pray for that person. And don't be shy, don't be embarrassed. Now, there's three things you must do when you pray for that person. Is you have faith, trust, and believe in the power of God, and you will see God move in that life. In Jesus' name. Every eye closed for a moment. If there's someone that has a name that came across the heart this morning, I encourage you. If that person is not here, stand and just pray and ask God to visit that person right now. Any person that God has placed in your heart this morning, stand and pray for that person right now. Remember, only prayer can do things. If you want to see greater things, it must start this morning. Pray for that person. God has placed many people on my heart this morning. And I'm going to spend time in prayer. And I'm going to believe. And I'm going to trust. And I'm going to believe in the power of God that will do something great in that person's life this morning. Sister Eleanor, could you come forward and sing this song with us this morning as we're going to pray together? Pray for that person right now. Whatever God placed on your heart, just pray for that person right now. If it's for salvation, do it. If it's for healing, do it right now. Allow the Holy Spirit just to move this morning in a mighty way. Come on, church. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer. Pray for one another and believe in the power of God this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Listening for my name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'll be somewhere.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
If my heart is right, when he calls me,
yes, Lord.
If my heart is right, when he calls me, if my heart is right, then he calls us me. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day that you've given to us, O Lord, and how you've given us this opportunity to be into your house tonight, O God. We thank you, Father, for this morning, even for your word has been shared, O God, as we have heard from you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here, every one of us here, that you ordained this day for us, O Lord. And I ask you, Lord, through your word, O God, that this morning it will not grow void, O God, but it will just grow, Father, and act in obedience to what you called us to do, Lord. You called us to do greater things, Lord. You called us to go out and share the gospel. You called us, O God, not just to be a Christian, but to act like a Christian. You not called us, O God, just to be a follower of Christ, O God, and to warm up a pew, but you called us to go out and do it, the great mission, O God. The greater things, Lord. We thank you for everyone here, O God, and I pray for every family member in this place, O Lord. That you would meet every need in this place, O Lord. Every heart, we pray, O God. Father, for the names that have been presented into our hearts, we want you to lift them up to you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, O God. Wherever they are, O Lord, that your arm will be stretched forth. Touch and respond to them right now, I pray, O God. Father, we have faith in you, we trust in you, and we're depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work, O God. We love you, we adore you. And we ask you, Lord, to give us traveling mercies as we go home to our families, O God. And give us the rest of the week and great, O God, and the week, O God, as we go to our work, O Father, our schools, wherever we go. We ask that your mighty hand will be with us, O God, and bring us back safe into your house. In your name we pray. And now God's people say, amen.